My Mac Podcast 979, CarPlay to stay.
And welcome everyone to the MyMac.com podcast. Now, General Motors is about to make a big mistake. They are said to be removing both CarPlay and Android Auto from their vehicles with their own, I know I'm going to say this wrong, Utify? And no, I didn't make that up, platform. This is just one of a series of decisions that GM is making to bring more people into the showroom by totally pissing them off. Because nothing enhances the car buying experience like making it even more frustrating. And I don't have Gaz with me this week. He is on walkabout. Literally, he's on walkabout. But Carl Madden, very kindly, has agreed to be on the show. Hello, Carl. How are you, sir?
I am well-ish, I guess. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, no doubt. You had a whole holiday and were sick the whole time.
I had 2 weeks off and I was sick the entire time. In fact, I'm still not fully well now. In fact, if you watch the video of this show, you'll probably see me mute my mic a number of times and have a coughing fit.
Sorry to hear that. That sucks. You finally get some time off from work and you basically just spend it in bed. Now, for some people, that actually might be like a great vacation, but not in your case. Nice, huh?
No. To add to the problems, we rarely get the sun in the UK. And yet for the last 2 weeks, it's been blisteringly sunny outside. It's fantastic. Right? In fact, it's really hot now, so I'll probably start sweating during the course of this. Yeah. I have to keep the window shut.
Just turn on the AC.
Neighbors can hear me otherwise. This is Britain. We don't have things like this. Our houses are built of brick. You know, they're built to keep the heat in, not to keep out.
Oh, I just...
Bloody Americans.
I grew up in South Florida where, it was pretty much hot all the time. And I barely remember when my parents first put AC into the house and just how wonderful that experience was, especially in the summertime, when I'd come in from, cutting the grass or whatever, and the temperature would immediately go from 95 degrees to like 78. And it was like, oh, this is wonderful. I like this. And I'm talking Fahrenheit because, of course, if it was 95 degrees Celsius outside, you'd be dead.
Well, yeah. Well, we don't get that. Well, as maybe some places do. Even a lot of our shops don't have aircon.
Some of the hotels do, because I can remember some of the hotels having it when I was over there.
Some, not the ones I can afford, but some of them, yeah.
The Hiltons.
It's called a window.
The Marriotts, yes.
Yeah.
Only the best. Well, other than being sick and having just an okay vacation, what else have you been up to?
Just doing the show. I did a solo show this week.
Know.
Not because I planned it to do it, but because I suddenly realized I had no show planned. So I had to get out of bed and put a show together, and then it was too late to ask anyone to help me, so I just recorded it solo, and I don't want to do that. These podcasters do solo shows. Take my hats off you. It's horrible. Talking for that amount of time with no one to bounce off and no one to query you and no one to pull you up if you start making a mistake. That's the worst part of it.
Not that I make mistakes or anything, but it is nice to have someone else to talk to.
Definitely.
Yes.
Do I need to know what microphone you've got this week by any chance?
You don't need to know, but I'm more than willing to tell you. It's the Rode NT1 Signature Series in blue. And I actually already have another Rode NT1 in black, but this one is better because it's blue.
It's blue. Yeah.
Anyway. Well, last weekend, and it's the reason why we didn't have a show last weekend, Gaz was away, and I was at my son's wedding, my son Peter's wedding. And it was
congratulations
amazing.
To him.
thank you. And I'm sure that he feels congratulated. It was so great. They've been going out since they were sophomores in high school. So it's been 11 years,
I don't know
12
what that
years.
Means.
And they were living together for like the last 6 or 7. So, you know, this was as far as things go, this was more of a formality than anything else. But I was having so much fun that I decided to leave my wallet at home, which is more than 2 hours away, in anticipation of not being distracted by the presence of filthy money. Or, you know, I'm an idiot that was just so set on starting the trip that I forgot it until I was too far away to go back for it. Now, fortunately, we were taking out, I mean, the entire, and this makes it even better. This makes it even better. The entire back of the car, and this is a Mazda CX-5 SUV, was completely filled with alcohol. Some open, some not open, that Peter and Liza had been given at a different wedding that they'd gone to. And of course, they were hosting this wedding themselves, so they were trying to cut corners as much as they could. So I had volunteered to bring all this alcohol up, and then I didn't have my wallet with me. And I'm just thinking, if I had gotten pulled over, what would that conversation have been like? It would not have gone well. Carl, it would not have gone well. It would have been very, very bad.
Is there some weird rules in America about having alcohol in the car area rather than the boot?
No, unless it's open.
Then it becomes a problem. Okay, because we were told when we went over there last, we couldn't have any alcohol with us, even if it wasn't open. It had to all go in the boot in case we got pulled up. I don't know.
Where were you? I don't know about that. Florida? Well, you'd think they wouldn't care.
Well, yeah, exactly. They're just you'd think they'd just be
driving down the road with a bottle of beer in their hands, screaming, wahoo, as they're driving down Interstate 95.
I did that on the second night, obviously. But
yeah. Obviously.
Taunting the alligators.
But the wedding itself went wonderful, and I actually got on the dance floor and hopped around a bit for about 30 seconds
video?
Before I was... Probably. I don't know. I don't have them, at least yet.
Oh, someone's got to have it.
I did the Father of the Groom speech, and it was the best damn Father of the Groom speech ever, anywhere. And all in all, you know, we just all had a wonderful time. And it is so nice. Because, I mean, I've looked at Liza as essentially being my daughter for a very, very long time. For various reasons that I won't go into here on the show. Her mother is great. Her father, not so much. But she is also very, very wonderful. And has really helped out Tracy and me, especially in the last couple of years when there's been, you know, some stuff going on. So having her officially as part of the family has just been a dream. Anyway, before we go on to everything else... I want to remind people that coming up July 12th through the 14th is the MacStock Conference and Expo.com. Sorry, Conference and Expo, which you can find out more information at or on. Words are hard today, Carl. At MacStock Conference and Expo.com. And it's certainly easy enough to Google if you know, you don't want to go to the trouble of writing all that stuff in. Every single year, except, and I couldn't tell you about last year because I wasn't there, but every single year that I've attended has been wonderful. Well worth the time, well worth the money. If you live anywhere near the Chicago area, there's no reason why you can't go to this thing. And I think that's about it. Do you want to do Gazza Snippets this week?
Well, I've got a few things that I mentioned on my show I could probably go through. So, for example, is there a sound effect? I was about to say anyway. So, okay,
he has them. I don't think I have them.
No, I've got them on my thing. So, but he keeps it from you anyway to the last minute. So it's kind of like it really is. Anyway, so apparently Apple has announced a significant expansion of its self-service program, previously only available in the United States, and it's now going to be available in a total of 32 European countries and Canada in 2025 as well. So you can now order those massive, great tools that they send out to you just because you want to replace something. Good luck.
Yep.
Who's going to do that? Nobody. Going to do that.
Nobody.
I'm scared.
This is an example of Apple following the letter of the law versus what was actually intended, and I don't blame them. You know, even most Android devices, which are you know, to be fair, set up in such a way that it's much easier to get into the guts of them most of the time. Even people don't even bother. They either throw it away and get a new one because they're so freaking cheap, or they have somebody who's qualified repair the various bits and pieces. Mm. This was a stupid ruling on the part of the EU.
Hey, and the other thing is, it's not like the old days. Like our entire lives are on these devices now.
Yep.
Like in the US, you've got your various IDs on there. We haven't got that yet in the UK. But you've got all your bank details on there. You've got everything on there. You've got your entire life on these things. And yep. It's really dodgy handing them over to someone to fix. So, I don't know. It's I can see both sides of the argument. Obviously, when my phone breaks and I get the repair bill, I'll be swearing then, granted. But, yeah. You know, until then. Now, also, Apple has had a run-in again with the EU, and they're now saying they're not going to bring Apple Intelligence to the EU because of the digital rights, the DMA thing that they passed. So the people in the EU apparently are not going to get Apple Intelligence, iPhone mirroring, or the enhancements to SharePlay screen sharing because they can't comply. So basically, they're just cutting off the entire EU, and now you got the EU firing back saying, "Well, we're not happy about that." And
yeah, well, then
I don't know what you
stop
do.
Stop trying to dictate to companies how to run their business, unless somebody is actually suffering because of it.
It's crazy. So obviously, this is going to be a big thing moving forward, I think, because some of these features were like tentpole announcements at WWDC. Yep. And for a massive swath of like Europe not to get any of these, hopefully we will in the UK. They won't do that thing. Well, you're close enough. So I don't think they will because they didn't do that with the App Store stuff. So hopefully, you know, it could be just Apple playing hardball, using it as a negotiating, you know, trick.
Oh, I'm but sure it is.
Eventually, EU's just going to fine them because that's all they want to do. Fine people, it seems to me.
They want
just
the money.
To make up for their own incompetence most of the time. But, it's just...
I don't get it.
Just nonsense. It really is. There's also rumors that now Apple is going to get in bed with OpenAI when they do their off-device Apple Intelligence stuff, AI stuff. But they're also apparently in talks with Meta to do something similar. And this follows the fact that at the WWDC, Craig Federighi said, we will be looking at other people. But Meta apparently is in this. So that should fill a lot of people with joy. But I'm thinking, sure. If they anonymize the data, what does it matter?
Well, it shouldn't matter. But, I mean, let's take comfort in the thought that Meta is so well known for their privacy.
Exactly. There is that small factor. They are. Wasn't they the ones that in one of their updates that kept things running in the background?
All of them.
Just so they could keep... All right. OpenAI's ChatGPT is now available as a dedicated Mac app. You can download it from their site. You can't get it in the Apple Store. You have to go to them. And it makes a great alternative to Spotlight if you installed it on your device. Very good.
Yep, I've got it and I tried it.
And what did you think?
Yeah, it's fine. Works really well.
There you go.
I don't know if it's better than Spotlight.
Well, it won't be, yeah. I mean, it's not going to help you on anything on your device, is it? It's not going to find files or anything like that, but it's for asking questions and whatnot.
Yeah.
And the world. The beta 2's rolled out for the next iteration of the platforms, iOS and iPadOS and stuff. So a few new things in there, which people are starting to find out. And watch some of the demos as well about the iPhone mirroring. Sorry, Europe. And you guys in America, you're getting your RCS messaging protocols in there as well. The rest of us ain't getting there yet. So you can talk to all your Android buddies.
I can talk to them now. They just come up green.
Files, the new Files app, apparently in iOS 18, has got some new things coming to it. You can now use your iOS device to format external drives. That bloody time.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, when you put your device, your files into iCloud, you can dictate that it doesn't unload them into the cloud. They'll stay on your device. You can specify what... I know. So that's good. Also, we're getting some new app infusion. Maps stuff is getting some love. So you can now search locally, which you can't... You can't do that. I can't believe you can do it. I've never tried it, to tell you the truth, because I normally use Google Maps.
Yeah, you're right.
But if you go to a certain location and you search for something, it'll just tell you the stuff near you. Now you'll be able to search nearby to wherever you are on the map, and it'll be able to find restaurants or pubs or, you know, whatever you want to find.
Yeah. And Carl, remember all you were talking about how hard it is to podcast by yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you to do that for a minute.
Okay.
I got to go check on something, but just keep...
App developers. So developers are now going to allow bigger bundles for their apps when they're developing for them. For example, there was a limitation of 2 gig when they were doing maximum app bundles, for example. And that's now going to go from 2 gig up to 4 gig. And also, as well... the on-demand resources has been boosted from 40 gig to 70 gig. And this is things in like iOS and tvOS. And what this is hopefully do will allow the various developers to do better games or more expansive games or better graphics or better services. And it will just open up the entire, hopefully, the floodgates for what these devices can do. And now it seems like Apple is getting into the more AAA gaming, even though they're still doing it fairly slowly. But they're putting all the things in place. So hopefully, at some point, the idea possibly of an Apple TV that is also a console would be brilliant. I mean, it's not in the future anytime soon, as far as I'm aware. But at some point, if they put all their ducks in a row and they get developers interested and willing to develop their games alongside PC and console releases, then who's to say what could possibly happen in the future? That could be very interesting moving forward as well. Let's have a look what else. Now, Apple AirPods Pro got an update, but this time we actually know why. Okay, normally don't tell us. So apparently there was a bug in it as well. And when your headphones were seeking a connection request to one of the previously paired devices, an attack in Bluetooth range might be able to spoof the intended source device and gain access to your headphones.
I heard you talk about this, and you're right. I think it's weird that somebody could get control of the sound that's going into your headphones. But I wonder if that could also be an attack vector in a different way through Bluetooth.
Well, any of you got your implant in your head? Your Bluetooth feeding it, maybe? What's that thing?
Having a normal conversation, and then suddenly it's like, I am Mr. Robot.
Exactly. Get all your money. And that was it. Apparently Milton Keynes, a town in England, is getting a new Apple store. They're in the same mall. They moved from one location to another location. So if you're in Milton Keynes, you've got a premium store now.
Well, that's important news. Yeah,
it is if you're in Milton Keynes and you're an Apple
store. Yeah, I guess it is.
So, you know, don't be a localist.
Don't make light of our Apple stores just because you have seven of them within short driving distance. Seven? Guy,
seven? Oh, yeah. Have you more? It's more than seven. I know. I bloody went round them all.
What, here in the States or over where you are?
No, in London. Didn't you see my video, my YouTube video?
Yeah,
where I
did.
All the... There you go.
Well, seven is a lot. But remember, London is also like one of the biggest cities in the world.
Not if you shrink it down
on the Mac. You don't want to make people have to go more than 15 minutes before they get to an Apple store.
Well, it depends if they're driving, because 15 minutes is about 200 yards.
Okay. So, well, yeah. Driving in London means that 200 yards can be longer than that, even longer than 15 minutes.
That's what I said.
I know. I realized that as I opened my mouth and had to come up with a way to make it worse. There we go. All right. Speaking of making things worse, let's talk about the main topic that we have for today, Carl. And that's going to be CarPlay's future. Now, currently, it integrates your iPhone with your car's infotainment system. It supports navigation, music, messaging, and a few of the apps that you have on your phone, including phone calls. It offers Siri voice control. It's compatible with many car modes. Connects via USB or wireless in newer cars, and aims to reduce driver distraction. Mm. I'm laughing because my current car doesn't have a touchscreen. It has CarPlay, but it doesn't have a touchscreen. And going from the touchscreen that was in my Kia Soul to the Mazda, where everything is done on this control knob with a couple of buttons there on the center console. It's weird, muscle memory. So as I'm driving down the road, I'm sitting here thinking, oh, I want to skip to the next song. So my hand automatically starts reaching up through the display. It's like, oh wait, no, that's not going to work. Damn it! And there are controls on the steering wheel to do things like that. And there are some simple voice commands. A guy can go to messages and get new messages just by saying messages and things along those lines. But CarPlay and Android Auto and certainly other systems of this type really aren't centrally... It really doesn't work that well with just voice controls. And I guess part of the reason why, we'll get into what GM is doing, but some of the issues that we're talking about, Apple is trying to alleviate.
I'm not too sure that's, see, it depends, because I've been in cars where, because I think it depends on the microphone that's built into the car, because I've had one where it basically couldn't understand the word I was saying. But then another one with a different speaker system, accent. Sound system, every single word, you cheeky... what accent? Anyway, you're the one flipping accent. Anyway.
I don't know what you mean.
So I think it comes down to the state of the microphone and the quality of the microphone of Siri hearing you. For example, my Mercedes Sprinter van that they've given me recently, it's gotten really good. Mic on it, and everything I tell Siri to do, it does instantly, no problems. But I've been in other cars where it doesn't work like that, where there was a person whose car it is will say something and it was just blank them.
Well, how important can microphones be? Who pays a lot of attention to microphones?
Well, that's the point, isn't it? I mean, it's all different, and as these things become more important, it will probably behoove the manufacturers to put better microphones in. You know, and also it's how much ambient noise is in the car itself. If you're on a noisy car and it's got to distinguish your voice, and you still got to remember what it's doing. What it's doing is still impressive. We all pass it off like it's nothing. A computer understanding a human. It's crazy. And we just go,
we don't even understand each other.
Exactly. Oh, dear.
And... voice control, and part of the problem also with voice control is how complicated it is, not with all commands, but let's say you're in Maps and you see a car that's on the side of the road and you want to tell Maps, okay, well, I want everybody else that's using Maps to know that that car is on the side of the road. So, instead of maybe just having a simple command, to get it to listen and then say, you know, impediment or something, you know, of whatever it is that, that the situation is, it's more complicated than that. And it's even worse with something like Google Maps and Waze, because they have menus upon menus upon menus that you have to dig through to get to the one. And now they give you, there's a lot more options in Google Maps and Waze for reporting issues on the road. And you can be very specific. The problem is, by the time you work your way through all of those menus, you're a couple miles down the road and everybody else behind you is like, well, why didn't that idiot tell me about this ahead of time?
Well, you shouldn't be doing that anyway. You shouldn't be touching the screen while you're driving.
Well, sure. But that's, you know, those things are in there for a reason.
But the thing will be, I think a lot of these problems might disappear once we get Apple Intelligence into Siri on it, because you don't have to say a specific phrase. You can just sort of say roughly in English, how we speak, you know, there's a car broken down on the side of the road. And as long as he's got features, as long as they've put in the developers put in the programming to allow that to be recognized and set, you know, that'll be good. Done. Because when you do that in Waze, for example, when you say it's an obstruction, that's not the end of it. He goes, oh, what sort of it? Sort of obstruction is it? Is it a cop? Yeah. Is it a car? Is it a lane club?
What side of the road is it on? You know, there's a problem here. Let everybody know that there's a problem here, which is where Apple Maps in a lot of ways is better, even though I prefer how Waze behaves on the open road if I'm going down the interstate or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It gives me that extra information that I want. But at the same time, it's much harder to either add a new report or to update.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Oh, excuse me. That stupid Fresca. Now, as stated in the opening, General Motors is removing CarPlay and Android Auto from their vehicles for safety reasons, stating that when things go wrong, people have a tendency to pick up their phones, distracting them from driving. According to some sources that have taken their initial offerings in a new Chevy Blazer, GM has eliminated that by just making entire sections of it unusable. And since it isn't connected to a phone, there's no way to be distracted other than infotainment and environmental controls completely locking up or disappearing entirely from touch screens. That's forward thinking.
So let me get this straight.
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. So they're not going to. So if you buy one of these vehicles, you promise never to be looking at your phone because the information is no longer available through the dash coming at you. So when you hear a message come in, you're going to just ignore it for 2 hours while you're on the road. That's what's going to happen.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, because the phones are going to be connected via Bluetooth. So if you want to make a call or things like that, I'm sure there'll be some kind of notification that a message has come up or that there's a phone call coming in. The problem is, and this is kind of what was going on with Tesla as well, since you're not allowing the phone's planned functionality to work because you're superseding it with some kind of controllable surface that you've designed yourself, then what happens when it goes wrong? With the phone, a lot of times you can just unplug it and plug it back in again, and then everything is fine. Well, you can't unplug your car and then plug it back in again. That doesn't work. So how well that works, most of the reviews that I saw on people driving, and these were car people driving the Chevy Blazer to a planned GM event, no less, where they lent these cars out, they got slammed pretty much across the board for how badly Ultify, what the hell did they call it? Ultify, I don't know. What was the their Fi platform, their Fi Fi Fo Fum platform, just wasn't working in a consistent way. And granted, this is a new system, but the problem is one of the strengths of CarPlay is that when you go into a car that you're not familiar with, a rental car or something along those lines, and you plug in your phone with CarPlay, you're going to see the very same thing that you see when you use it in your own car. So that's one less thing that you have to worry about. So anyway,
What's the selling point? Initially, that's what the selling point was.
Yeah.
Initially.
Because honestly, car manufacturers do not know how to make good interfaces for, and not just for infotainment, but half the time also for things like, you know, how fast you're going and oil pressure and water pressure and things that you should be monitoring while you're driving your car, or at least something to give you an indication that something's going wrong. A lot of times they don't do that very well. And you know, don't get me started on environmental controls, because that's going to be different in every single car as well. And it's frustrating that, you know, you get into a car, especially these days. In the past, it was not really that hard to figure out because there was like one or two options. Well, now you've got seat controls. You've got, you know, blown air or blown heat through the seats that you're sitting in. You can set the mirrors to be exactly where you want them to be when you get into the car and hit a particular button to go to a particular setting. And all of these things, okay, you know, they're great. You can do all of these things. But when you get into a car cold and you don't know where all these things are, you're just sitting there in a car that's running because you don't know what you have to do to be able to drive it properly and to be comfortable. And, you know, this is a problem that something like CarPlay and Android Auto can remove. You know, so, you know, with all of that, where does that leave Apple? And it essentially, in almost every other car manufactured on the planet, CarPlay and Android Auto are in it. So I don't think Apple is too worried that GM, which doesn't, you know, let's face it, does not have the market share that it used to have. Toyota has taken away that crown of being the biggest car manufacturer in the world. And if WWDC is any indication, CarPlay is looking to bust out all over, not just for infotainment, but also for various car monitoring systems, environmental controls, and maybe even a few set widgets here and there. So instead of actually having to go and say, oh, well, let me find out what the weather is, you know, you could have a widget that's right there that's tied into maps that says, okay, well, I know in 2 hours you're going to be at this place. Let me tell you what the weather is going to be like at this place as compared to the weather that you're going through right now. There's all different kinds of things that you can set up for widgets to give you current up-to-date information that you need without having to, you know, scroll through pages of CarPlay apps in order to figure it out. But having said that, let's talk a little about where Apple has said they're going, where they've demonstrated new versions, and we can add a little fairy dust speculation and wishful thinking into it. Currently, one of the issues in cars is that everybody wants to just put in bigger and bigger screens. The problem with that is that when you devote so much real estate to just a few functions, it doesn't leave room for other things. So you have that big screen for maps and choosing music and podcasts and audiobooks. But then where do you put the environmental controls? Well, how about on the same screen? Single buttons, either real or virtual, to change parts of the screen to what's required at that time. Air conditioning and heating controls, maybe even some seating luxuries like heated seats, forced cool air, maybe even massage controls. All built in for your comfort. Voice controls could also be used to adjust basic settings. Now, one thing that I haven't really seen too much of, but would make sense, you know, especially with people with families, having rear touchscreens that would allow for many of the same amenities, as well as TV and movies that are either stored on your phone or through some kind of internal storage. Inside the car, of course. You could add subscription services if you have enough bandwidth to your car. And this could be like either a tie-in to existing services that you already have, or a source of revenue that could be shared between providers, car manufacturers, and naturally, Apple.
I don't agree.
I'm sorry?
I don't agree. They shouldn't. These kids shouldn't have this stuff, because when I was a kid, I didn't have any of this stuff. All I had to do was look out the flipping window at the bleeding cows going by.
Or read a book.
What's wrong with that as entertainment? Or read a book. Feel truffle sick.
And if you made a lot of fuss, you know, your mom would turn around and smack the crap out of you. So,
and say, every now and again, can we go into services? Yeah. Can we go into services? Oh, you've gone past it. Can we go into services? Can we go into services? You've gone past it again.
Turn around, go back.
I think kids are so bloody spoiled, sitting there in the back of the car watching their favorite TV shows. I say enough.
I would have loved it, because we used to drive from Fort Lauderdale all the way up here to Northern Virginia, where my sister lived. And because the interstates weren't complete yet, that was a three-day drive.
Three days
of sitting in a station wagon with the windows down because air conditioning took up a lot of gas, would reduce the mileage of the car to ridiculous levels. And, you know, blown air is free. 3 days. And at you got to that third day, the parents would start questioning why they ever decided to have a family in the first place. So when we used to drive down to Florida, when my kids were little, I had like jury-rigged a MacBook onto this wooden platform that sat between the two seats in the front. I also had a 12-volt DC TV set with a built-in VHS player that weighed like 20 pounds. That was jury-rigged between the seats. So if I'd had to stop suddenly, you know, we would have all died because that thing would be bouncing all over the car.
God.
But it did. It kept the kids occupied with something to do and something to look at while I was trying to do my best to put as many miles between us and home as we possibly could. And I don't really see the problem with that. I think that having the ability to allow children to have some entertainment options on long car trips just makes for a more scenic experience. Not really scenic. Pleasant.
You just know
less stressful.
It shuts them up. You just know it shuts them up. That's all it is.
Never said that.
Because you're trying not to. We all know
exactly.
The reason parents give their children an iPad or an iPhone or whatever is to shut them the hell up. That's it.
It creates a less distracted driving experience, Carl.
Yeah, because they've shut up.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I'm
not saying you're wrong. Okay, let's talk about some future versions, of course, with car makers cooperation. And they've kind of showed some of this off. You could have custom dashboards displaying whatever information the driver feels is necessary, also within the limits of the law. So a speedometer, tachometer, oil pressure, water temperature, all bright and colorful, adjustable for vision correctness or color blindness, exactly where you want them in any car that uses that same system. If you lose or break...
2 years ago.
Sorry?
They showed all this off 2 years ago at that WWDC
event. Yeah, but we don't have it
yet. No, but because car development is glacially slow, because it has to be, because all the safety features and stuff like that. So there's rumors now that these are going to start to appear next year in some of their more expensive models.
Well, it doesn't even have to. I mean, really, instead of all the gauges, all you need, and it doesn't even have to be, you know, here's the thing. Car manufacturers are like, oh, well, we need this, you know, a liquid display that has, you know, all of this and blah, 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 you know, the best possible resolution. And you really don't. You don't need a super high dense display to show a tachometer or to show a gas gauge or to show really any of the basic functionality of what you should be paying attention to while you're driving a car. You don't need that. All you need is something that's going to show those in such a way that you can easily see them without blinding you. I mean, who cares? Do you need an 8K screen to see how fast you're going? It's ridiculous. And of course, then the question becomes, what happens if you lose or break your phone? Well, the car should remember the last settings and display that. We could eventually get to the point, and this is already happening in some places, where starting the car remotely on cold, hot days with an app or in your settings is done directly through your phone, removing the need of even having a key. Now, of course, some kind of backup system would be needed if the phone broke or was lost or stolen with a password or number combination so that you wouldn't be stranded or that you could remotely disable the car if stolen. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's makes sense, doesn't it? It's always going to be a backup because there'll always be the default system for
yes.
people who haven't got the iDevice or whatever, the latest model that actually works with it. So there'll always be the manufacturer's default, screens and whatnot and settings. It's just this allows you to bring your own little bit of personality into the car, with
yes.
you.
Yes, it does. And there's a lot more that could be done with only our imaginations as guidelines. And and here's the funny part. A lot of what we were just talking about is what GM wants to do with their fee system. The big difference is that GM wants to make a lot of this subscription-based and to also be able to sell your data to the highest bidder. Essentially, and I'm putting a caveat on this, Apple just wants to sell you hardware and perhaps a few apps to enhance your experience. Other car makers could get into the game with apps to change basic layouts, hopefully not subscription-based, cooler maps exclusive to their platform content, and so on. But the data that's generated, that should be under your control with Apple's mostly good reputation for safeguarding it. And again, this comes down to how much do the makers of all these devices that we use for convenience sake, how much do they actually need to know about what we're doing with those devices? I say very little. If you can't make a go of it selling hardware based strictly on your profit margin on that hardware, then you shouldn't be in that game.
A lot of manufacturers already put lots of tracking stuff in their cars already. They don't need anything from an iPhone, for example. My van tracks me every 30 seconds. Company can see exactly where I am, and there's nothing I can do about it.
But that's different.
For example.
Because that's not your own vehicle. That's not your vehicle.
They also to lease vehicles that you don't own yet, so they can track you. There's also things that you can have in insurances, like you can have a black box put in your car to lower your insurance. Yeah, exactly. So a lot of
see
things
how fast
can be
you're
done.
Going and all the rest of that. Exactly. I don't have any of
and
that.
And there was also saw some reports on YouTube from a car channel I watch as well, where he purchased a car and he found that they'd stuck a tracking device in his car without his being aware about it.
I think
and
I saw that video. That was a Toyota, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
So I mean,
the OPM switch was loose. That was his first clue that there was something weird.
That was the one.
Yeah, it wasn't. I saw that.
Once he researched it, he found loads of other people that had this same issue as well. So we're getting into this realm where they want to track us for everything for whatever reason. I don't understand what quite these data brokers get from some of this information, but obviously someone thinks it's invaluable to them. I'm not sure on an individual basis, more on a collective basis probably, but the ability for us to be tracked is so easy now, and the iPhone does as much as it can. Apple does as much as it can. But at the end of the day, we put on, for example, Facebook on our phones, and we share everything, whatever we're having for breakfast or whatever. So at some point, Apple must.
And that's the stuff that we do manually. That's the stuff that we just say we're going to give to them. Not even talking about the stuff that they do behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not paranoid. Why is everyone against me?
So the thing is that GM is doing here is either very brave or very stupid, because the amount of people I know who have experienced CarPlay who then say, oh, when I get my new car, it's got to have CarPlay, or I'm not interested. And when it first happened, I thought, are you serious? Are you nuts? Why would you like care about how the stereo looks, for God's sake, rather than the car? But I've heard it again and again and again and again, and it's been reinforced every single time. Some people will not buy a Tesla because you can't use CarPlay with it.
Right, exactly.
So it's crazy. So if GM Motors wants to go off and do this own thing, while everybody else, virtually every other manufacturer, does this thing with Apple, it makes me wonder, do these manufacturers have to pay a licensing fee to Apple or something? Is it something like that in the background that I'm not aware of?
Not that I'm aware of. I think a lot of it has to do with they're looking for additional revenue streams. And the information that you can get with how people drive and where they go and what they're doing, that's valuable information. And it is terrible. It's abysmal that companies, not just car companies, but companies that make a lot of the devices that we use every day, just seem to think that they have the right to do this, and then are completely flabbergasted when somebody says, why? What makes you think you deserve to have that information? And they don't get it. It's just another revenue stream for them.
But we don't do anything with that information. Well, why do you want it then?
Yeah.
Well, it's because it's data, and it might... Why do we want it again?
Yeah. We use this to improve our products. I am not being paid to be your R&D.
Yeah, exactly.
So if I'm not being paid to be R&D... then what I do with your products is none of your freaking business.
I was going to swear then. I really did.
Huh? You thought I was going swear. To? Yeah, I felt like it. I felt like it, but I didn't. I was good. All right, let's move on to Gaz's tips.
Hit it. Gaz's tips.
Most important.
Gaz's tips.
Most important.
Gaz's tips.
It's time for
Gaz's tip.
Okay, a software company that a lot of people probably haven't heard of, but they have some cool software, is Growly Software. And they have, besides a few simple games, I should have had this up, but I don't. They have, oh, come on. See, this is what, it's like Growly. Growly. How many different times can there be something like that? Growly Software. As it just completely... destroys the flow of the show, and I do enough of that on my own. It's Growly Bird Software. Some of the apps they have: productivity apps, calculator, great for people who have iPads until the next version comes out. They have a draw program, notes, and write. They have a bunch of home apps, including backup and calendar and checkbook, things like that, and a bunch of games: backgammon, free cell, jigsaw, rummy. Solitaire. I use quite a few of these myself, and they're all completely free. There is no charge whatsoever for any of these apps. So if you go on over to growlybird.com software and check it out and see if there's any of those apps that you'd like. And I'm kind of nodding my head.
Hit it. That's the end of Gaz's tips. That's most the end of Gaz's tips. That's most the end of Gaz's tips.
Okay, is that the end of the tip?
Will you
it
let
is.
Me finish?
Gaz's tips.
Gaz, you are absolutely right.
Okay, there we go. I had to put them all together because it was so hard to just hit each one of those individually. No for pick's sake this week, but we do have some feedback, Carl. Now, you're a regular listener to the show. So you've heard some of these things that we've gotten from Mr. Cheesed Off.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is a man with issues. He has a lot of things that really, really upset him. And we're very fortunate in that he's letting us know about them almost each and every week. And we really do appreciate
it.
Now,
Brit.
This just came in.
He's a Brit.
He's a what?
A Brit. So
yes, he is.
Definitely. I can tell from the accent. Because he hasn't got
one. He has opinions. I have not yet listened to this. I'm going into this cold.
Is this wise?
I don't know. I'm not sure if it's wise or not, but we're going to find out. So here he is, this week's Mr. Cheesed Off.
Hello, Guy and Gaz. Mr. Cheesed Off here. I just stumbled upon the new Beats Peel speaker. Oh, it's premium, they claim. Premium price for what looks like a suppository, albeit a massive one. Honestly, was it designed by a doctor with a twisted sense of humour? And oh, they rave about the sound quality. Well, it better be spectacular. It's a speaker, for Pete's sake. Unless it can sing soul-healing hymns or rocket me to Mars, I'm not interested. You know what else is sleek, compact and ridiculously pricey? A spaceship. At least they'd zip me off to someplace new, albeit with a slightly stiffer ticket price, granted. So unless this Beats Pill can beam me up to some exotic galactic locales, I'll keep my money, thank you very much. Maybe I'll buy something less ridiculous, like a singing kettle. At least that knows when to clam up once it's done. And a word of advice, if you spot someone this weekend walking oddly, while mysterious tunes appear to be emanating from their posterior, there's a good chance they've mistaken their pill for something else entirely. I don't know. It all really cheeses me off.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Cheesed Off. We really do appreciate the fact that you've contacted us. I still don't have an email from Mr. Cheesed Off, so I can't send him a Woody. Looking forward to that. I don't know if I want to set up like a regular correspondence with him, but I am appreciative of the fact that he does contact us and send in his opinions on things. Now, if you would also, I'm sorry.
Did you see those pills come out? I mentioned it on my show, actually, about 12 years. It was some ridiculous amount of time since they made them.
Pills?
Yeah, you can buy them. The speaker. This is Beat Speaker.
Right. They're like the size of, the HomePod Minis?
No, well, they're like a big, like, oval shape. They look like a sausage, but bigger.
Okay. Well,
you've not seen them?
No, I haven't. I'll have to check them out after the show.
Yeah.
If you would like to leave feedback and possibly get a woo tea. Now, Carl has a woody. He's got a couple of them.
Festooned with them.
His life has changed in so many positive ways since receiving a woody that we won't even talk about it here on the show because he would call me out and say I was wrong. Now, if you don't know what a Woody is, it is a big W, big O, big O, big T, little I, little E, exclamation mark. That is a Woody. And the way you can get them is by leaving either feedback for the show or doing a review or some other cool thing that we've determined is good enough to get a Woody. And we will tell you all the various ways to get a hold of us in just a little bit. Now, if you'd like to help contribute to the show, you can easily do so by going to Patreon, patreon.com/MacParrot. You can buy me a coffee, ko-fi.com/MacParrot. You can also PayPal at paypal.me/MacParrot. Now, Carl.
Yes.
If people wanted to get a hold of you and say, what information did Guy have on you to make you believe that it was a good idea to come on the MyMac.com podcast again, how would they do so?
Well, you can come listen to me and normally the other guys as well over on the Mac and Folf show. Put that into your favorite podcast catcher of choice and it should come up. Or you can contact me on X as Claw0101.
If you would like to get a hold of Gaz, you can do so by sending him an email to gaz@mymac.com. He's also on Twitter and Mastodon as Gazmaz, as well as on a lot of the other social medias as Gazmaz. If you would like to contact Fearless Leader Tim and question his sanity in allowing me to continue to do this program, you can do so by going to feedback, FEEDBACK, at mymac.com. If you'd like to get a hold of me, you can find me over on the Twitter X's as MacParrot and VertShark. I'm also VertShark on Instagram and Threads. I am Mac Parrot over on Countersocial and Mastodon.social. And of course, email address is guy@mymac.com. Now, Carl, we have a Google Voice number. Do you know what that number is?
Yes, but you caught me off guard because you did tell me you was going to say that. I've got to find it. Now you've got to fill while I find it.
Okay, I can do that. Did you find it yet? It's such an easy number to remember.
Is it?
It is. And hopefully it won't go up and down in volume once you find
maybe.
It.
Maybe. If I ever find it. Cause you... Oh, this is not good. You sprung that on me. You should have given
me
some advance.
Well, you knew it was coming up.
No, I didn't know. I didn't think he was going to ask me to play it.
Oh.
I don't have it.
I don't have it in my, and I should. A lot of these sound effects, like, you know, some of the stuff for Gaz, the thing that he plays as he's given his contact info, pretty much all I have is Gaz's tips and the end of Gaz's tips. The rest of it, he kind of does on his own. Well, shall we just go ahead and
What we need to do is just go back in time a little bit.
Yeah. Ah. So tranquil.
Right. So what you going to ask me?
Oh, Carl, do you know what the phone number is that people can contact the G-Men with?
Call 703-284-677 for the My Mac podcast with Guy and Gaz. It's Tech Heaven.
It is.
703-284-677. Get in touch now. Your call is our Tech Drip 11. 703-284-677.
There you go. Now, did I go down in volume that time?
No, it didn't. It actually stayed right where it was supposed to be.
I am the master of volume.
And I think we're about done. So thank you. Thank you to everyone who has downloaded and listened. Listen. Mm-hmm. To the MyMac.com podcast. Excuse me. Oh, goodness. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. And Carl, I think that this week that we were good enough. Also, I think that we were smart enough. Yeah. Smart. Mm-hmm. That's us. Mm-hmm. Kidneys. And that doggone it, woof, woof, wilf, woof, wilf, that amazing dog. People like us.
Mm.
Now, I have a joke. Or do you have one?
I have one.
Go ahead.
Why was the computer cold?
Tell me.
Because it left its windows open.
Oh. Okay. I got one for you. What is the cause of dry skin?
I don't know, apart from the obvious one.
Towels.
What?
And thanks for downloading and listening to the MyMac podcast. You can also hear other great podcasts on the MyMac podcasting network, like the Tech Fan podcast, Three Geeky Ladies, Geekiest Show Ever, the Let's Talk podcast, the Essential Apple podcast, and the Club PlayStation and Club Nintendo podcasts. For some reason, my levels look a little down, but I'd rather have them down than too high.
You can always boost them when they're down.
Yep.
You can't recover.
No, you can't just say, I'm going to take that screaming audio and reduce it in volume, and it'll sound much better.
So it's always better to get it quieter.
Yep.
As long as it doesn't go under your noise gate, of course.
As long as what?
It doesn't go under your noise gate.
Oh, yes.
It just cuts out.
Well, I'm not actually using a gate because the only thing I'm using to route is loopback.
Now, let me just check with you, all right? So, blah, blah, blah. So if I go to audio, blah, blah, blah. So I've got echo cancellation turned off, reduced mic background noise off, stereo audio, well, no, I haven't got stereo on, and automatically adjust the mic volume is off.
Yes.
Right, because I'm telling you, that thing you have with Gaz, because you've got one of them turned on.
Yeah, let me check mine real quick. Echo cancellation off. Use background noise off. Automatically adjust volume off. Everything is off. Okay. And you can hear me fine.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. I've got all the tech here.
and my Blue NT1 microphone. It's just beautiful. Yeah. When I had to update ARC, I had to turn off sound source. And I don't want to turn it back on until I'm... You know, I don't want to add anything else to the weirdness that is the recording process that I have until I'm finished recording.
I don't know what you've done. It's the weirdest thing.
Well, it's actually very simple. I have a loopback device that I use to push audio to StreamYard and to Hindenburg, the audio, the DAW that I use to record the audio. Mm-hmm. And I stopped using Audio Hijack because that just seemed to slow everything down to a crawl. And I don't know if it's because I'm still on the M1 or because I have plenty of storage. It's not like the Mac is going, oh, I have to make room here and I have to make room there because I've got like 700 gigs of available storage. So that's not the issue. And it's all digital, of course.
No, it shouldn't be stalling because it's only audio. It's nothing.
I know. And the video is being recorded through StreamYard. So that's not even coming back to me until I'm done recording. And I tell it to download. For those six people that watch it.
I watched it last week because I was sick. Huh? I was in bed. Not last week, the week before, because it didn't go out. Because I watched it as soon as you published it because I was sick in bed.
I get so annoyed.
I do.
I have enough in my life right now that I don't need all that extra.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, am I totally screwed or what?
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Beep, 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 beep.
Beep, 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 beep. What the hell was that?
This is my little, when I want to do a silly voice.
Oh, okay. So you just... So you are using Audio Hijack?
No, this is from the Rodecaster, or whatever it's called. Rodecaster, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Do you have the Rodecaster 2 or the Duo?
The Duo. Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect. If everything feeds into it, you can do the routing. I know you can do that when you've got yours. You can do that now. And it's just a couple of cables in and one cable out. I mean, it's not even cabling out. It's recording it as you're doing it. And it can call it all separately, all separate tracks, or one mixed track. It's up to you. It's just... The only thing is, bloody Rode instruction manuals are the worst going, right? So I had to find out how to use this while watching YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And that was it. But once the thing clicked in my head, how they organize everything, it was a doddle to set up. Things, easy things, like when I wanted to take the piss out of you on your reverb that time, you left it on the entire show. So, you know, just things you can have on the fly.
That's another reason why I don't use Audio Hijack, because I was throwing a lot of effects in there as well, compression and rest of that.
No, you don't need to do that. I mean, you can do it. That thing you use to do your editing, that can do it all. There's no point doing it live.
And I should know that, because here's the thing. Audio that's recorded, you can't take effects out once it's in there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you want the basic, most basic audio so you can play with it.
And then you do whatever you need with it.
Do whatever you need with it, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
How long have you been doing this?
Excuse me. Ooh. Record.
This is my pocket camera, by the way, doing this video.
Oh, nice.
I just got.
Is that the one you just got?
Straight away. Yep. It's a bit too wide angle for me, unfortunately, for this shot, but it shows too much. But
oh, it won't let you adjust that or go to
Should have it closer. I should have it closer to me, but I can't be asked to piss around with it. Because I can pick it up and move it around and things, I think. There you go, active track.
I just keep in the center. Did you ever watch The Orville?
Yeah, I did.
Did you? Did you see it was in the first season, and it was, I think it was like the first appearance of the Krill, and they're on the bridge and they're talking to this guy, and his image is like way over to the right, and he's already starting to make his threats as they're talking, and Seth MacFarlane is like, hey, wait, hold on a second. Can you move a little over to the side? It's really distracting. You're like not centered up. Oh man, that show. I loved that show. Even when it got more serious, it was still fun to watch.
Oh, but that's the way he tricked them into doing it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He wanted to make Star Trek, but obviously they didn't own it. But so he said, I'd make comedy.
Star Trek.
I know. He started out by saying
yeah,
he'd make a comedy. And that's what
got
him picked up.
It's Star Trek with dick jokes, is what it is.
But then once they got picked up and popular, they started to cut back on those jokes, and it became more serious. Because that was his plan.
The last season where they had just a limited number of episodes was really serious.
I'm so far behind on stuff. I just watched you for last night. Finished the offer.
Do you watch Lower Decks?
No. I don't watch any new Star Trek now. Ever since that singing episode on Strange New Worlds.
Oh man, are you kidding? That was great. That was so good. The Klingons come in and saying, "We're going to kill you and then destroy ourselves because we can only sing in opera."
Nope.
Oh my God!
No. I mean, if you want to piss out Star Trek, fair enough, but. No, I'm not doing it. I'm not falling that.
Go for it.
And honestly, Lower Decks pays more attention to canon, Star Trek canon, than any Star Trek show ever. Because so many of the in-jokes are right there.
It does, but it's also annoyingly horrible.
I love
because
it.
Because the chain of command and everything, it just doesn't work for what it's based on, that's all.
Okay.
If it was brand new, then okay. But there's like set canon and everything. And, you know, I want to be geeky about it, but you just got to respect the canon. If you want to play in the canon, they do, but they don't. They don't respect the chain of command.
Lower Decks does.
Did she have her ass kicked off that bloody ship?
That's almost the point. It's a third-rate ship. That, frankly, shouldn't even really be in space.
With all of the tropes.
Huh?
But that's what I'm saying. It wouldn't exist. I mean, I know what you're saying, and I understand in the concept of the show what it's got to be. I'm just saying I just don't view it as part of the show. Even though you're correct, they do a lot of things right, and they make a lot of references correct. A lot of member berries are in there. Granted, yes, I'll give you all that. I don't doubt that at all. I'm just saying, in the lifespan of Star Trek, it doesn't fit.
Okay.
That's all.
Well, we'll have to agree to disagree because I think that show's great. All right. Well, whenever you're ready, go ahead and do the title.
My Mac Podcast 979, CarPlay to Stay.
That'll work. All right, do a stop.